Today's Bible reading is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 to 21. Do I start? Okay. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Larissa. If you'd like to get to know more about Larissa, please feel free to talk to her after the service and encourage her in our Year 12s as well during this time. Now, we're going to continue our 2 Peter series, and today we're going to be talking about chapter 1, verse 12 to 21. So if you have a Bible with you, please open it up, or if you have your phone, you can use that as well. Yeah, it's been a while I've been up here, so it's good that I can share God's word with you all again. Now, I have to confess that I struggle to remember. If you ask my wife, you know that she hates my questions because I always ask her, you know, "Hey, Kat, where's my phone?" And then 5 minutes later, "Hey, Kat, where's my phone?" And 5 minutes later, "Hey, Kat, where's my phone?" And she'll be like, "If you ask me again, I'm going to throw your phone in the bin. I just told you it's on the table." So I struggle to remember. I ask that question at least once a day. So I also work part-time as a pharmacist, right? And every year there's new drugs coming out, and I have to remember their drugs names and their side effects, their doses, and I struggle to remember that as well. Don't come to me if you want drugs. I'm a youth pastor. I have to remember to make sure my leaders are healthy and thriving, and half of them are sick at the moment. You know, I have to remember that our youth are growing and the ministry continue to run smoothly. I'm also a dad and I'm also a husband. I have to remember to love my wife and my daughter, make sure they are well fed, make sure they are clean. You know, I have to be present at home. There's so many things to remember, things to do, and people to look after. And I have to remember to take care of myself, right? I have to make sure that I shower each day. I do shower each day, if you're wondering. I have to make sure I eat well, sleep well, exercise well. It's hard to remember all these things. And perhaps one of the most important things that I often forget to remember is what God says about the return of Jesus. And perhaps you struggle with this too. Life gets busy. You know, you just get used to the routine. Who has time to read the Bible and think about the return of Jesus? Or maybe you get caught up with your study, your career, your family, your relationship. It seems that they're more important than the return of Jesus. Or maybe you doubt that Jesus will return, that this is all a myth made up by some guy in the past. My question for you today is, have you remembered what God's word said about the return of Jesus? Have you remembered what God's word said about the return of Jesus? And today, Peter will tell us to remember, to be reminded, to refresh our memory on what God says about the return of Jesus. And he wants us to be excited about the return of Jesus, to look forward to it. And you can see in verse 12, there's three times Peter reminds us the three words that he uses. So in verse 12, he says, "I will always remind you of these things." And verse 13, he says, "It is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body." In other words, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to keep reminding you. In verse 15, I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Peter wants them to remember even after he dies. And Peter really wants them to remember the things that he's been talking to them about. And it's not that the nagging kind of reminders, but loving relational kind of reminders. Because he's speaking to them as his brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, it's the kind of reminder a parent might give to their children. You know, remember to brush your teeth, Hannah. Remember to watch the road when you cross the road. Remember to be kind to other people. As parents, we want them to remember not because we want to nag them, but we want them to remember for themselves because these things are good for them. And that's kind of what Peter is doing here. Now, what is it that Peter wants them to remember? In verse 12, he says, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have." Well, what are these things? Well, it's everything we talked about last week. If you're here last week, if you missed the sermon, I encourage you to go back to our YouTube channel to listen to it or Spotify. Tim Chang gave a really good sermon last week. But it's everything that God is talking about, everything God has given them, that everything for godliness, to be productive in their faith, to be self-controlled, to be persevering in godliness. And if they possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep them from being ineffective and unproductive in the knowledge of Jesus. So he wants them to know that Jesus is their Lord and Savior, and he wants them to live now with Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Now, why does he want them to remember these things so badly? Well, he wants them to remember God's word because Jesus will return in glory. Because Jesus will return in glory. Look with me in verse 16. "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Now, the word "for," it's a connecting word. It gives the reason for why Peter is so eager to remind his readers. And the reason is it's because of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power. And Peter here is talking about the second coming of Jesus. As we will see later in chapter 3, there are some false teachers who say that Jesus is not coming back. So Peter is writing this letter to tackle this false teaching and to remind his readers to stand firm in the truth and to be prepared for the return of Jesus. And he says that we did not follow cleverly devised stories. And this is not made up. He didn't make this up. And you know, recently I've been receiving a lot of emails from a Nigerian prince in front of his computer that he said that he left a huge sum of money for me. I don't know why. But I also received, you know, a lot of messages from Australian Post saying that I got a package to be collected when I haven't bought anything online. Or maybe a crypto investor telling me I could get rich really easily if I just use this program. And these people come up with very cleverly devised stories or scams, trying to scam me and drain me of my pocket. And you'd be pleased to know I didn't fall for any of their trick. But did you know that a lot of Australians last year they lost about $2 billion just to all these cleverly devised stories or scams? And Peter is saying that, well, this is not like that. The return of Jesus, what I'm saying to you right now, it's not a scam. It's not a myth. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's true that Jesus will return. Why? Because I was an eyewitness. I was there. I saw Jesus' glory and majesty. And what does Peter mean by that, that he saw Jesus' glory and majesty? Well, he's actually talking about the transfiguration of Jesus. The transfiguration of Jesus. Now, transfiguration of Jesus is an event where Jesus, you know, he was transformed, he was transfigured, and he was radiant in glory on a mountain. If you want to read more about it, I encourage you to go back to Matthew chapter 17. So it is an event where Jesus revealed himself to Peter, John, and James. But what does the transfiguration has to do with the return of Jesus? Well, I think the Transfiguration is a bit like a movie preview, right? You know the movie trailer that you see on TV or YouTube? They usually give a pretty good indication of what the movie is going to be like, what it's going to be about. And the Transfiguration for Jesus is like that movie preview of what it will be like when Jesus comes back again. And that preview was enough for Peter to know that when Jesus comes, that he will come in unimaginable power and glory. In verse 17, let's read on. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. Now, in a sense, Peter saw Jesus' majesty and power when he saw his appearance being transformed. He saw Jesus' face shining like the sun, his clothes become dazzling white. He was an eyewitness of that. But in another sense, he was also an ear witness when he heard that God says, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Now, those words have significant meaning in that. When God said it to Jesus, they also reveal the majesty, the power, and the glory of Jesus. And it reveals who Jesus is. See, when God says, "This is my Son," he's referring to Psalm chapter 2, when the psalmist looks forward to a king who will rule and judge the whole world. He's saying to Jesus, "This is the anointed one. The nations are his. The ends of the earth belong to him. He will rule over them. And he will smash his enemies to pieces. And anyone who is wise enough will submit to him, because his powerful wrath will flare up in a moment, and anyone who takes refuge in him will find safety and security." So when God says, "With him I am well pleased," he's referring to the beloved servant in Isaiah 42, who will suffer and bring salvation and justice to the world. He's saying that Jesus is my beloved servant, the suffering servant who will bring justice and salvation to the world, the one who will bring peace for your transgression, the punishment for your sin will be upon him, and by his wound you are healed. You see what Peter is saying here? Peter is saying, "I was there. I was an eyewitness. I saw it and I heard the voice. I've seen his majesty. I saw a preview of the raw power and glory of the King Jesus, who would judge the earth, who would rebuke his enemies, who would destroy them completely. But I also saw a preview of Jesus' compassion, humility, and love, who was born to take the punishments of the world so that he can bring peace to the world." Peter says, "Jesus is coming. I've seen his power both to judge and to save." And that's why I want you to remember. And I think this is Peter's aim here. And he wants us to organize our lives around God's word concerning the future coming of Jesus. He wants us to organize our lives around God's word concerning the future coming of Jesus. And he wants forward momentum. He wants us to make every effort in our lives to remember that there is a day when Jesus will return. And he wants us to live our lives in light of this event. Now, a couple of years ago, on the 9th of December 2019, there was an active volcano on White Island, New Zealand, erupted, and it claimed the lives of 22 people. Now, were there warning signs? Yes, there were warning signs. You know, the volcano actually had been showing signs of unrest for several weeks before the 2019 eruption. There were volcanic tremors, and the level of sulfur dioxide gas were at the highest level in October. And 2 weeks before the eruption, there was an earthquake around the area, which actually led to a higher risk of volcano eruption. But the tour guides and the tourists still went ahead onto the island. They ignored the warning signs. And sadly, 22 of them didn't survive. And today, God has spoken to us through Peter. Now, as we listen to Peter, it's like, you know, God is wanting us to get to safety. to give us a chance to be prepared, because Jesus is about to come back. The whole world is going to erupt. You know, some of you, you may be here, you might have never said yes to Jesus. Maybe you've grown up in a Christian family home and you're just tagging along because that's what your family does. And you know of Jesus, but he doesn't really mean much to you. And maybe you've been sitting on the fence about Jesus for a while. You know that following Jesus will mean that you have to give up a lot of things, your own desires, and you're not ready for that. Well, let me tell you, friends, Jesus will return anytime. He could return next year. He could return tomorrow. He could return in the next 5 minutes. He might return before my sermon finishes. But when he returns, you want to be on the right side of Jesus, because only those who trust in him will be saved. So don't delay any longer. So stop ignoring the coming of Jesus. Instead, come to Jesus. Come to safety. Come and talk to me if this is you after the service. And Peter said he was an eyewitness of Jesus' glory. He was also an ear witness. He heard what God said about who Jesus is. And now he's going to turn to Scripture and said that the return of Jesus was actually already promised in Scripture. Verse 19 to 21, we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you would do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, prophetic message is just another word for Old Testament Scripture. Even though they're written and spoken by men, it was nonetheless God's word, overseen by God. And Old Testament author, they were human beings, right? They were just ordinary humans. But these ordinary humans, they were taken by God, and God used them to write his very words. Not that God dictated them, but he took their individual character and experiences and background, and in his sovereignty, he used these authors to write his own very word. And that's what the Bible is. You know, it is the word of God, written by ordinary human beings, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter is not trying to form a theological statement about the Scripture here. He's saying this because he wants us to pay attention to God's word. He wants us to pay attention to God's word. Now, the Old Testament has always been pointing to the coming of Jesus. If you read the Gospel and the New Testament, you can see that a lot of the Old Testament prophecies have been fulfilled in Jesus. And they predicted that a Messiah would come and defeat his enemies and establish a powerful, glorious kingdom. And that's Jesus. Jesus is our Messiah. You know, there's 66 books in the Bible, and they're all written by reliable eyewitnesses, and all pointing us to Jesus, in whom God has given us life, peace, and forgiveness. The prophecy has been fulfilled, and it will be fulfilled. Jesus will come back. So remember God's word. Remember God's word, because Jesus is coming back in glory, and he will surely come because it's been promised in the Scripture. Now, what does this mean for us? Well, firstly, I just want to suggest this, that we need to remember and pay attention to God's word. We need to remember and pay attention to God's word. Now, Peter needed to remind his readers about God's word, even though they were firmly established in it. You know, most of us are Christians here. Maybe most of us have read the Bible at least once, the whole Bible. And most of us know the basics of Christianity. So why do we need to be reminded? Now, some of you might have seen this viral video a few years ago. A person on the left is a tourist. The person on the right is an experienced hang glider instructor. Now, can you guys see what's wrong with it? The person on the left, you can see he's not strapped on. He's not attached to the hang glider at all. He's holding onto his dear life with just his hands, thousands of feet in the sky. There was nothing holding him in. Now, does he hold on? Well, you have to remember to watch the video later. No, I'll tell you. They did manage to land eventually, but he just managed to hold on. The tourist had a fall, and he did break his wrist from the impact, and he tore his bicep muscles because from holding on for that too long. Now, why am I telling you this? Well, this hang glider instructor, he was very experienced, right? He'd done it many times, attaching the torus to the hang glider, that is hang glider 101. But yet he forgot this time. And can you imagine if he's got a reminder that time, how grateful he would have been? Now, this was a mishap that could cost a life. But there is a greater mishap if we forget God's word. And if we ever let go of God's word and Jesus, we do more than falling down. We fall into hell and God's wrath. And Peter knows this. And that's why he wants them to remember. We need to remember. We never get to a stage where we think we know enough. We think that we don't need that reminder. Then I think we are on our way to spiritual mishap. Do you ever feel like the Bible is a waste of your time? Or that it's boring? Or that I will only pick and obey the bits I like and the bits I don't like I will ignore? Or that I'm too busy to read the Bible? Now imagine if Jesus is standing in front of you today. Would you have said all these things to him? Jesus, you're boring. You're a waste of my time. You're irrelevant. I'm too busy for you. And yet we do that to the Bible sometimes. You know, how we respond to the Bible is how we respond to God. Now, if you don't have a habit of engaging with God's word, let me just suggest three things. Well, firstly, form a Bible reading habit. There's this app that I'm currently using. It's called Bible in a Year app. It's a really good app where it takes you through the whole Bible in a year. If you haven't read through the Bible before, this is a good way to start. It usually goes through a Psalms or Prophets and then a New Testament and the Old Testament and give you a bit of reflection on it and prayer on it as well. So it takes about 15-20 minutes each day. So I really encourage you, if you haven't used it, it's free as well. So you can download it on your phone. The other way you could do is also, this is what I like to call the SOAP method. So S-O-A-P. It stands for scripture. So every day there's a scripture that you read, and then also stands for observation. So you as you read the scripture, you write down what stood out to you, or you might want to paraphrase the verse that you read so that you can internalize it and understand it. And A stands for application. What is God saying to me today, and how can I apply it today? And P stands for prayer. I will pray about it, pray that God will help me to live out his word today. Now, I do have a few devotional material that's based on this SOAP. I forgot to bring it at the back, but it's in my office. I'll bring it up later. So if you guys want, please come and talk to me afterwards, and I can give you some copies as well for free. So form a Bible reading habit, whether it's these two, these are just some suggestions. Maybe you have other ways of doing that. That's good. Feel free to share it with your friends as well. Well, secondly, join a Bible study group. You know, Bible study is available time when you get to engage with God's word with your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're not in one, join one. Talk to me or the other pastors if you want to. This is a way where you can learn about God's word with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Secondly, pay attention to sermon. Pay attention to what I'm saying right now. Okay? Who's sleeping? No one's sleeping. That's good. So, you know, now I know different preachers have different style of preaching, different way of expounding God's word, but we are all preaching God's word, right? Let me encourage you to prepare your heart each Sunday before you come. Be ready to listen. Be ready to hear God from his word. Maybe you want to take notes during the sermon. You know, what is God saying to me today? How am I going to live out God's word this week? So, some suggestion for you to remember and pay attention to God's word. Well, secondly, we need to remember that Jesus will come back in glory. We need to remember that Jesus will come back in glory. You know, most of us organize our lives around events in the future. You know, for the teachers here, you might be organizing your lives, preparing for your next lesson. For the prospective parents are preparing the nursery for the new baby. And for our students who are preparing for the HSC and IB exams, we're all preparing for something in the future, right? And my question for you is, are you prepared for the return of Jesus? Are you preparing for the return of Jesus? Our friends, Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back in power and glory. And Peter has reminded us so many times in 2 Peter, and it would have been a massive mistake to waste your life not preparing for it. Are you wasting your life on games, on building wealth, on finding that guy or girl that completes you? Or are you making efforts to remember and be prepared for the return of Jesus? Now, have you remembered all the things that from the sermon last week? Have you remembered to be self-controlled, to not be anger easily? And if you're angry, have you remembered to be calm, to be the one who resolves the conflict? Have you remembered to show goodness, to be Christ, to be Jesus to other people, to go to that guy sitting by himself at school and say hi to him, to that colleague, checking in on that colleague that's struggling with her mental health? Have you remembered to grow in perseverance, to be less anxious, to trust in Jesus more? Have you remembered to grow in love, to be less irritable, less impatient, less judgmental, more gracious, more forgiving? Not to say things that tear people down, but build others up. And to love the difficult person whom you find hard to love. Now, if you have a good look of yourself in the last week, has knowing that Jesus will return make any difference in your life? Has knowing that Jesus will return make any difference in your life? Brothers and sisters, God's word is like a lamp and light that guides us as we walk through this life and wait for the glorious return of Jesus. We do well to pay attention to it and mark his word. Jesus will return. And when he returns, you know, those of us who belong to him will receive a rich welcome. So remember God's word, and remember that Jesus is coming back soon. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, that it is still alive and active today, even though it's been written thousands of years ago. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us your word so that we can know you, so that we know that you love us, so that we know that you die for us, so that we know that you will come back, and you will come back as king and ruler of the world. So help us, Lord, to remember that, to remember to come to you for safety, to remember to make every effort in our lives to live a godly life, as you have called us to. Forgive us when we have failed to do that. And help us, Lord, to keep persevering, to keep trusting, and to keep loving, so that each day may be our best day of knowing and serving and loving you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.